Well, in March 2014, President Obama directed the Secretary of Labor to update the overtime regulations to reflect once again the intent of the Fair Labor Standards Act, the president's goal to make more workers eligible for overtime. In fact, beginning on December 1, workers earning up to $47,000 a year would be eligible for overtime. Today, only those earning up to about $24,000 are eligible. Such an adjustment has been made only once since the 1970s, and that was back in 2004, to a level that many feel was way too low. But now 21 states, including Kansas, are challenging the new rule in court. Critics insist that the rule will have dangerous consequences for the economy because it will force employers to demote salaried workers to hourly positions and create more part-time jobs. Here to help explain what those new regulations will mean for workers and employers and what the multi-state lawsuit looks to accomplish is Melody Rail. She's of counsel in the Kansas City office of Fisher and Phillips Law Firm. She's practiced exclusively in the field of labor for a number of years. And Melody, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
In the time we have today, let's give our listeners an overview of the changes coming in December. Affected here are executive, administrative, and professional workers, referred to as EAP employees, who are salaried. They're not eligible for overtime pay. If their annual salary doesn't meet the new threshold, their employers have to make a choice. What are the options there?
Well, Steve, I think it's important first to go back and kind of just briefly review what it is that the FLSA requires and what it is that's being changed.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so just by way of brief overview, the FLSA, as you know, establishes guidelines for minimum wage, overtime pay, things of that nature. And there are certain employees who have been deemed to be exempt from the FLSA's requirements, specifically in this case, the overtime requirement. And those are what you've referred to as the EAP exemptions, the executive, administrative, and professional exemptions. And there are essentially three requirements, and of course this is a vast oversimplification, but three requirements to be considered exempt from the FLSA under one of those exceptions. One is that you must be paid on a salary basis. Two is that you must be performing certain duties, depending on which exemption it is that you're claiming, executive, administrative, or professional.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is that you need to be paid a minimum amount per pay period. And that's the piece that this DOL regulation is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point anyway, the other two requirements are remaining the same. In other words, these employees must be performing a certain narrow scope of duties and must be paid on a salary basis. So having said that, now that that minimum threshold is rising, employers will have a difficult choice to make regarding how they want to address making sure that their employees are properly paid under the new regulations.
And so their options are going to be what then, Melody?
Well, they have a number of options available to them. The most simple, of course, would just be to raise everyone who's being paid as an exempt employee up to the new minimum threshold, which is $913 per week, and that equates to somewhere around $47,400 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for many employers, that's not a practical solution because some of those employees who are currently being paid as exempt salaried employees are nowhere near that minimum threshold, and it would simply be economically unfeasible for them to raise everyone up.
So option number two is what?
Option number two, then, would be to convert those employees who are not up to that threshold to an hourly employee and pay them on an hourly basis and compensate them for their overtime.
Mm-hmm. And that would be completely legal.
Absolutely.
Is there a third option?
There are a number of other mechanisms for paying employees that will currently be compliant with the FLSA. Salary plus overtime is an option where an employee is paid a salary for 40 hours and then paid overtime for anything over that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fluctuating work week plan that can be implemented. Employers could potentially pay employees by the day or by piece. So there are a number of options that employers can look at. But at the end of the day, most employers will be deciding between those first two choices that we discussed, either raising their employees up or paying them hourly.
Well, you're explaining this so clearly, and I appreciate it. Why is the president wanting to change these rules? What's the thinking behind it?
It's all part of the president's endeavor to ensure that all Americans are paid what he considers to be a livable wage, that all Americans can work at their job and support their families. And so that's the purpose behind his endeavor to raise the threshold. Now, of course, you know, there are opinions on both sides of the aisle as to whether or not this will actually affect that.
And his thinking, I think I've heard him say, is that people should get paid for the hours they work. That's sort of the idea here, too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so Republicans now and critics of this rule change are saying that it's going to force employers to demote salaried workers to hourly positions, create more part-time jobs. They think it's going to have a sharp effect, a negative effect on the economy.
Well, I think the potential is certainly there for that. And it's interesting, Steve, that you use the word demotion, because I think it's important to remember that for many employees, they consider being an exempt salaried position to be a benefit, something that they've worked for and strived to accomplish, and they consider it to be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many employees will indeed consider it a demotion to be moved from a salaried position to an hourly position. Huh. But as a practical matter, that's what many employers may be forced to do. And I like to use the example, Steve, of a retail establishment who may be paying a store manager somewhere in the range of $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that store manager is exempt, works probably over 40 hours a week in many weeks. And now that employer is going to have to make a choice as to whether to raise that store manager to the new threshold of $47,000 and some odd dollars, or make that employee an hourly employee and now have to pay them overtime.
I can imagine how many phone calls is your law office getting over something like this. Is the phone ringing?
This is a hot topic.
And, I can imagine.
And employers are very concerned, concerned on a couple of fronts. How do I comply with the new regulations? And secondly, from a business perspective, what are my options to minimize the impact both from an employee morale perspective and to make sure that financially we come up with a feasible solution?
We're talking about these new overtime regulations that President Obama has called for here. And let's get our listeners involved here. If you're a salaried employee under the new $47,000 threshold, would you rather be switched to hourly, or would you rather have your annual compensation raised to the new standard? I can guess what you might want to pick. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. I'm visiting with Melody Rail. She's with the Fisher & Phillips law firm here in Kansas City. So, Melody, if an employer chooses to move a worker to hourly, can that worker actually be paid less than what they were making annually in the salary position?
Well, I think that's
a pay cut here.
I think that's a realistic possibility, Steve. And here's how that might happen. Let's take our $30,000 a year store
right.
manager, for example. When the employer converts that employee to an hourly wage, they're going to have to calculate how much they believe that employee needs to be paid an hour, given the number of hours they generally work, in order to make that same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if they make that calculation on a 50-hour work week, for example, the hourly wage is not going to be what it would if you just divide it by 40. And now if the employee does not work overtime in a given week, they're not going to make the same amount they would have been making before the change.
Is that legal?
Absolutely. In fact, many employers will do just that in order to convert their employees to something that's compliant with the new regulations.
Melody, if you would, run by us the annual salary thresholds again. And what's the old one? What's the new one?
So as it currently exists prior to the effective date of the new regulations, which is December 1st of this year, the minimum threshold to be a salaried employee and exempt from the FLSA is $455 a week.
Mm-hmm.
That equates to approximately $23,660 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The new threshold is approximately double that, at $913 a week, which equates to about $47,476.
Okay. I mentioned earlier on that states such as Kansas are challenging the new rule in the courts. This regulation is going to go effect on December 1st. Do you expect the courts to rule by then, or are we going to see these rules put on the shelf for a while, or what do you anticipate happening here?
I would think it highly unlikely that we'll get any kind of a ruling or stay prior to the effective date of December 1st. That would be pretty quick. And so what we would encourage employers to do is go ahead and proceed with your planning and implementation of whatever it is that you're going to need to do. Don't wait until the 11th hour in the hopes that there's going to be some sort of reprieve, or you may be caught in a pickle.
Okay. Sounds like a mess for a lot of businesses out there. Do you expect the lawsuit to be successful? Can you give it odds at this point, or is that too hard?
I think it's impossible at this point to predict any odds on how the lawsuit might go. I do think that there are some good arguments being made on both sides, mm-hmm. and it will be a very difficult decision for the courts to make.
I should also point out there's been an exemption to overtime for white-collar workers whose annual pay is above a certain level. That's also changing from what to what, and how does that enter into all this, Melody?
So that exemption that you're referring to, Steve, is what we call the highly compensated employee exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, the minimum threshold for that exemption is $100,000 a year, and that is going up to $134,004 per year.
And the effect of that is going to be what? What's the practical application of that?
Similar to the effect of the other thresholds that are going up, those employees who are currently considered exempt under the highly compensated employee exemption will need to be making that new threshold, or the employer will have to come up with some other exemption that employee may fit within in order to keep them as a salaried employee as opposed to an hourly employee.
Let me go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. We're wondering how these new overtime rules might affect you and your business. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. Wesley from Blue Springs. Wesley, you're on the air this morning with Melody Rail. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to mention I've been on salary for about 12 years, and it's been the most stable, probably the best job I've ever had. And I've, of course, been paid by the hour. And those jobs were the least unstable for not only myself, but for the employer as well. In fact, it's been more cost effective for my current employer to pay me salary because he knows ahead of time exactly what he's paying out. And I can guarantee, my wages 1 month, 6 months, 1 year from now, that I know exactly what I'll be making, and it's easier to budget. So I would never ever go to hourly if I had the choice.
Mm-hmm. So it's gonna affect your life directly, it sounds like, Wesley.
Oh yeah. I have nothing against other people working by the hour. But when you have a choice and you've had both, I'll tell you, being salary is the best way to go. It's more security.
Okay. I appreciate those thoughts, Wesley. Thank you very much. And Melody, this increase we're talking about that goes into effect December 1st is only the first of several scheduled increases that are going to be coming up down the road. How often are we going to be seeing those now?
Well, the new regulations, as part of those regulations, contain a provision that creates an automatic increase of those thresholds every 3 years, the first of which would be January 1st of 2020. And so every 3 years, that threshold will automatically go up, dependent upon some complicated calculations involving the Consumer Price Index and other measures.
Where's organized labor on this thing?
Well, organized labor has been very supportive of the new regulations, as you might imagine. They consider it to be a very employee-friendly provision. And
employee-friendly, given the downsides, why are they so certain it's employee-friendly?
I think the general thought is that by raising these thresholds, most of the employees affected will actually see an increase in their wages.
Do you think that's the case?
You know, it's yet to be seen how it will play out, Steve. It will be definitely a complicated decision for all employers who are affected by these increased thresholds to make a determination as to how they're going to pay their employees. And as Wesley was alluding to, his perspective is not uncommon in what we hear from employees. I like being a salaried employee. It provides certainty for me and my family. And we also hear a lot from employees, I like being salaried because then if I want to work extra to get something done, to do a good job, I can do that without having to worry about whether or not I need to be paid overtime.
Back to some phone calls here on this new overtime policy. Jordan from Overland Park, you're on Up to Date, Jordan.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was just wondering how this will apply to teachers who, you know, they have the summers off, so some would argue that they're not putting in the overtime, but during the school year, they often are putting well over 40 hours a week in. And their salary is typically, when they're starting out, below that threshold you're talking about.
How about teachers, Melody?
Well, Jordan, I have some news you're probably not going to want to hear, and that is...
There goes your Friday, Jordan.
That is, Jordan, that the salary thresholds that we're discussing do not apply to teachers at all. The exemption for teachers does not contain the minimum threshold requirement, as do the exemptions for some other fields, such as attorneys and medical professionals.
How do you feel about that, Jordan?
You know, that's okay. It kind of makes sense. It all kind of evens out. We get our summers off. And I'm actually a school speech-language pathologist, so I'm at a master's level on the salary schedule, so it doesn't apply to me. I was just curious for this. My teacher friend.
All right, Jordan, thanks very much. You know, a couple of years ago, Gallup did this annual work and education survey, and it found that full-time salaried employees were working, on average, 49 hours a week, with 25% reporting 60-plus hours a week. So a lot of people are affected by this. I mean, we're talking a major shift here.
I think that's right, Steve. There will be a very large number of employees who will be affected by this change.
Yeah. When employers are calculating pay for salaried EAP staff, how many hours per week do they base it on usually? I mean, is it the number of hours actually worked, or is it the 40 hours, as you were talking before? Is there any sort of sense of what most employers, how they handle this?
You know, I think it varies widely depending on the duties of the position and really at the ground level what it is that that employee does. In other words, you may have an executive assistant who's performing duties such that she's qualified to be exempt, he or she, but really only ever works a 40-hour week, in which case that salary determination is based on that 40-hour number. Then on the other hand, you may have an employee who's out in the field doing things on a regular basis on weekends and during the evening who's working that 60 hours. And I believe for the most part, employers take that into consideration job-specific when they set those salary levels.
Luke Martin tells me 40,000 folks in Kansas will be affected, 85,000 in Missouri, according to the Department of Labor. So there's a sense from an official source of how many people we're talking about here. Melody, thanks so much for coming in. I sure appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
That's Melody Rail. She's of counsel in the Kansas City Law Office of Fisher & Phillips.